Obviously, we're still in this series called The Table. Today, we're calling this One Thing. And it comes from the classic Billy Crystal movie, City Slickers. All right, everybody old enough remembers. Three longtime friends face middle age. They've all lost their focus. They're in danger of losing their families. So to reignite their lives, they go to a dude ranch where they help move cattle from the high hills down to the valley, where they meet Curly, the grizzled old cowboy who leads them, seems to have life all figured out. He's the toughest, wisest person they ever met. So Billy Crystal's character asks Curly the secret to his confidence and to his contentment.
Oh, there's nothing like bringing in a herd.
See, now that's great. Your life makes sense to you. What's so funny?
You city folk, you worry about a lot.
I'm just saying.
How old are you? 38.
39.
Yeah. You all come up here about the same age, same problems. Spend about 50 weeks a year getting knots in your rope, and then you think 2 weeks up here will untie for you. None of you get it. Do you know what the secret of life is?
No, what?
This.
Your finger?
One thing. Just one thing. You stick to that and everything else don't mean...
That's great, but what's the one thing?
That's what you gotta figure out.
Open up with me in your Bible to Luke chapter 10. I will say I'm very much enjoying this series and this format. It allows us to go through the Gospel of Luke in a very unique way. As we see over and over again, the things that Jesus taught us in table settings where Jesus was sharing a meal in a home with someone. Now, when we think about the one thing, it is a danger to expect one person to provide all of our emotional, intellectual, and relational needs. We need a variety, really, of relationships to meet our relational needs. But what might be true for human relationships does not hold true to our spiritual needs. Spiritually, we need that one thing, and that one thing is Jesus. Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 38, and let's honor God by standing for the reading of the Word of God today. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." Let's pray. Father, I pray that you help us today to find that one thing that's needed, that's necessary in life, that men and women together would become more like Mary and less like Martha. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Go ahead and be seated if you will, please. Martha. I mean, I wonder why we still debate. I really do wonder why we fight so hard to back up Martha. And to say, well, she really wasn't that bad. I mean, Jesus did not offer her that same comfort. I mean, he said, Mary has chosen the good part and that won't be taken away from her. Martha, let's just be honest, is really only concerned about her house, her food, what she's serving. Come on. When hospitality is not about self, it's about your guests. I knew I wasn't getting a big amen from the women on that. All right. Martin Luther and John Calvin referred to Martha-type activity as adiaphora, meaning things indifferent. How much stress and strain we put into life that things that don't matter so much. Martha was stressed out. And stress is one of the greatest contributors to disease. We could call it the big white rabbit syndrome, the big white rabbit from Alice in Wonderland. Always consulting, you know, this big gigantic watch shouting, I'm late, I'm late, I'm late for a very important date. White rabbit syndrome always drives us down another rabbit hole. To some, listen to me, some more important than here destination, always running to meet someone more important than the people or the person that's right in front of you right now. And I think we live in a world where we are isn't as important as where we think we need to be next. And the person that we're with right now isn't as important as somebody who's far away. I mean, for most of us, our life would probably be about 500% better if we would destroy our cell phone. Because we're never present with the person that we're with. We're never present in the place that we are right now, because there's always somebody that's not there that seems to be more important. And there's always something happening out there in the world that's more important than what's happening right in front of us. People today are overloaded and overwhelmed with Martha stuff. We take pride in announcing how busy we are. It wasn't that many years ago, if you asked someone, how are you? We got a very pat answer, fine. Not that great, but, you know, it's better than terrible. You know, it's better than other things that you could say that come to my mind. You know, you meet the exceptional person every once in a while. You ask them, how are you doing? They say, I'm doing fantastic. And you realize they've just come home from a seminar. But overwhelmingly, and almost every person that you greet today, if you ask them, how are they doing? They say, busy. It seems that if you don't give that answer, you're not really keeping up with everybody else. It seems like you're a slacker. If you're not busy also, it seems like, man, there's something wrong with me and I'm not important enough. Isn't that true? We take pride in announcing how busy we are. Busy-itis. I don't know if that's really a thing, but several years ago, I coined that phrase. Busy-itis spreads by word of mouth by everyone affected. And Jesus is showing Martha the superiority of the bread of life over one more home-cooked meal. Look, I value highly, obviously, home-cooked meals. And there's something sacred about that, unless we make it about something that it's not. Jesus offers all who will listen the invitation to partake of the kingdom of heaven. Martha's accusing Mary of slacking off, of playing hooky. Yet, let me tell you something. Playing is what God intends for us. Play is the essence of creativity, of creation. Come on, this time of the year is such a spectacular time of the year, the spring of the year, when wildlife are giving birth and when, you know, the majority of farm animals are also giving birth this time of the year, and you see the young of every variety of animal skipping, running, chasing, you know, tackling. Ken and Whitney came up for one night this week, and they always bring their dog. One of the greatest things about Ken and Whitney moving to Chillicothe is that their dog will not be visiting our house anymore. We already have four dogs at our house, and we need one more, but boy, it's like fresh meat. And so they run the yard, they chase, they tackle, they bite, they trip. But that's the way life is really intended to be. It should be a playful experience, because that's the way of creation. I mean, when you look at the beauty of the world right now, and really just standing up on the church property in Milan, if you've ever been up in that part of the state, everything is hills and it just rolls. And there's a little lake on the property there, and you can just see all over the hills and just the green. And driving home last night, I mean, we had to brake more than once for deer crossing the road. And you just see creation as this wonderful playground that we as human beings are supposed to understand and enjoy, but we don't enjoy our lives because we're so busy, busy, busy. We're late, we're late, we're late for a very important date. But play, it just reduces and relieves stress so much. That's why when I go out to play, if it's on my bike or if it's a round of golf or whatever, I've come to an age where the speed or the score doesn't matter so much, because it robs from me what I'm supposed to be enjoying. You need to be faster. You need to get that score down. Well, that sounds like work to me. And this is supposed to be my time to play. This is supposed to be my time to de-stress, not to intensify the stress of my life. Where in the world do we still, as adults, play together? You see, the loss of innocence is the success of stress. The essence of the fall of man. Eden was a stress-free place until sin entered. Amen? Yet, we still debate the virtues of Martha. It's known as the Protestant work ethic. Yet, in the Eastern Church, let me just say the original church, the contemplative role of Mary remains very, very strong. Both extremes, I will say, do miss the mark. Jesus is not saying that activity is bad. Jesus is saying that loving God, come on, loving God is what matters most. Attending to our relationship with Christ is the first and the best thing we can do. Any love relationship means to embrace the theology of play. I sat at a roundtable discussion with some pastors in Colombia from, you know, some pretty good-sized churches from North Missouri, from St. Peter's and O'Fallon area to Hannibal to Columbia, and of course Kearney, and I was there. And one of the pastors was just because it was a roundtable and it was a closed meeting and people were pretty free and safe to talk, and now I'm ratting him out, but you don't know who he is, because he's from the St. Louis area. He was just, I won't say exactly what he said, but he just was so frustrated with sometimes what church has become and what church people emphasize and what they then neglect. And he was just expressing this frustration of how issues and even political things and causes and then the hatred and the finger pointing and the bitterness and the anger that spewed out of the mouths, and then what the church seems to present to our society as what seems to be the most important thing to us. And it's Martha, Martha, Martha stuff. Because following Christ isn't about rules and regulations and the law. As a matter of fact, Galatians says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. That the essence really of following Christ is about a person. About Jesus. And they asked Jesus, what's the most important thing? And, you know, what's the most important commandment? Because we need to get this right. It's fascinating when Aaron's out meeting people in Cameron and we're talking about the church. You know when you've run into a highly religious church person. Because their first question has to do with a point of doctrine. And if you answer that question incorrectly, they're going to write you off immediately and they will never darken the door of your church because for them, following Christ is about getting it right. And Jesus said, Martha, it's not about getting it right. It's about enjoying the relationship that I'm offering to you that will change your life forever. And Mary has chosen that more important thing. Jesus does not want us to work, most of us, let me say, Jesus does not want most of us to work harder. However, the Proverbs does talk about the bad end for those who are lazy. We're just not on that sermon today. He wants us to revel in His presence. He wants us to play. He wants us to relish the part of the kingdom that's present now among us. Yeah, I'll confess to you. On Monday, we sit around and talk about in the office who wasn't here. As if who wasn't here was more important than who was here. Now, we do have a responsibility to leave the 99 and go seek the one. And, you know, if somebody's been gone a week, we don't worry about it. Some people we worry if they miss 2 weeks because, you know, we're a little concerned about you, to be honest. And 3 weeks is kind of alarming for almost anybody. So we're gonna start, you know, probably getting on the phone call and that sort of thing. But it is a rabbit hole. It is a Martha rabbit hole that pastors really have to resist. Of thinking about who wasn't here instead of enjoying everybody who is here. Because the kingdom of heaven is about us getting together and remembering the one who brought us all together in the first place. He wants us to revel in His presence. He wants us to relish the part of the kingdom that's present now among us, to use the gift of the Holy Spirit and to go out and play and invite others to come and play with us. Mary sat at Jesus' feet. That is the position of being a disciple. She was a worshiper. Sitting at Jesus' feet is the first posture for disciples. And He said to Martha, 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 you're worried and upset about so many things. Worry means to be torn in two directions, to be pulled apart. And Martha was coming apart at the seams so much that she got Jesus. I always love this. You know, if something's not going right around here, whether it's in the daycare or preschool or one of the, you know, adult Sunday school classes or what have you, well, we're going to get pastor involved in this. Like, guys, quit using me as a hammer. Quit using me as the police. Quit using me as you know, the one that's going to enforce the rules. And that's what Martha was doing with Jesus. Because Martha was having a lot of trouble getting Mary to do her part back in the kitchen. So what does she do? I'm going to get Jesus involved in this. Jesus, you tell my sister what's really important. And he did. He said, Mary has chosen that best part, Martha. Come on, there's going to be another meal. There's going to be another chance to entertain. But how many opportunities do we really have to just sit at Jesus' feet? My greatest goal for you is that every Sunday morning that I would invite you in, that Chad and I, Michelle and I, all of the staff, all, everybody involved, the elders, everybody involved, is that we would invite you to come in and enjoy the best part of our life with us. Sitting down at Jesus' feet, singing songs that remind us how much that God loves us. Wasn't that a spectacular song that we've not been given the spirit of fear because I am a child of God? Man, that's a sitting at Jesus' feet moment where we sit at Jesus' feet and we're reminded how much God loves us, how much we're accepted by Him, that it's not about my performance. I could have messed up royally this week, but it doesn't change the fact that I am a child of God. That it's not how much I'm sorry for my sins. It's how much God loves me and His grace covers my sins. And I just come back again and say, I'm sorry, and I have absolute confidence, even if it's the 100,000th, I can't say it, the millionth time I've committed this same sin. You try to say that 100,000th. I sound like Sylvester. You never met Emmy. That He just does, and it's not based on me. It's based on His goodness. For the Lord is good. And His mercy endureth. Aren't you so glad? Chad, go ahead and come. Martha was coming apart at the seams. And in Philippians it says, instead of being worried, Philippians 4:6, instead of being worried, instead of being anxious, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Now look at the next verse. What is it? You have your Bibles? What happens when you let your request be made known to God? And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Peter gives us the same kind of invitation in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. One thing is needed. One thing. That one thing is Jesus. Christianity is based on a person, not principles, not even values, certainly not the law. Therefore, we cannot be Christian Pharisees that are more concerned about the law than we are about people. In fact, I'd rather even bring it into a modern phrase. Pharisees a little blind to us because we don't have Pharisees in the world today. But I'm telling you, so much of the church acts like Martha. So much of the church acts like the Christian Taliban. We're flat, just kill you if you don't get it right. We'll just tell you, you have no place at the table because of your particular brand of sin. There is acceptable sin in the church, and there's unacceptable sin in the church, but I don't find that distinguished. I don't find that distinguishing feature in the Word of God myself. The Bible tells me that we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God, and that Jesus came for sinners. That's why he came. That's one of the lessons that we learn coming to the table. And who are you or who am I to tell people that they're unwelcome at the Lord's table? We've missed the point altogether. Let's be Mary. Let's be Mary and not Martha. When we say yes to Jesus, he becomes our one thing. We are welcomed into the most wonderful relationship possible. As a matter of fact, Paul, writing to the church at Rome in Romans 8:17, says, if we're children of God, then we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that so good? That we're heirs of God and we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. There was a boy who had gone to Sunday school class in a new church. The family was new to the church. So the mom, you know, trying to talk to the boy, trying to find out what about Sunday school. And I know we have these children in our family. What'd you learn in Sunday school? Nothing. What happened at school today? Nothing. So she kept prodding the boy a little bit. What was your teacher's name? Don't remember. Well, I don't know her name. I think she was Jesus Grandma. Okay. Why do you think she was Jesus Grandma? I don't know. She just kept holding up pictures of Jesus and bragging about it. And if you are more Mary than Martha, isn't that what you're going to do with your life? Hold up snapshots of Jesus and brag on him to other people. If Jesus is our one thing, we can't help but brag about him. That's exactly the cry of Jesus to you today. If you find yourself far away from God for whatever reason, because you walked away from a relationship with Christ, man, hear Jesus say, come home. Maybe you've never had a relationship with God through Jesus. But he says to you, come home. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus, to that person he gives the right to be called a child of God. The greatest thing offered to every one of us in life is this thing, that we could be part of the family of God. If you want somebody to lead you in prayer, to help you make that decision today to come back home or to come home for the first time, then we're going to be up here at the end of the service for you.